well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's
hello, going shoppers, to be and welcome right. to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. I am your host this morning. You are a listener, you are a guest. Welcome to Johnny's home. Come on in, take your shoes off. Yeah, put it there by the door. I've got some food, we've got refreshments, some entertainment, and I put that parenthesis, depends on how good the show goes. But yeah, the food will be good. Coming up, something for you to digest this morning. Have you ever been taken by a mystery shopping scam? Yeah, you get those email blasts all the time, right? Mystery shopping opportunities. Make thousands of dollars a month. Get free stuff. Go on trips. Junkets. The whole thing. Sure, become president for a week. Everything. You get all those promises. Well, how do you know what's legit and what needs to quit as far as mystery shopping programs go? We're going to talk to Jeff Greenwood. You recognize that name. Long time news reporter for KCCI News Channel 8. He now works for the Iowa Attorney General's office as a spokesperson. He's going to talk about mystery shopping scams and what to look for and how do you determine what's legitimate and what is not. Very interesting conversation coming up. Also, what are the 10 things that an employee should never, ever say to a shopper, us, as we're shopping? And why is that? We're going to look at, actually, quite a bit more than 10. We're going to look at the fastest way to ruin our shopping mood with any of these particular phrases, and I've heard them all, and so have you, I'm sure. Plus, a tribute to people working hard at customer service desks, and that coming up later on this morning. You can always, you know what you can do? You can, in real time, chime in, if you'd like, via email, johnny@theunsecretshopper.com, J-O-N-N-I-E. Send your emails. You can also Facebook me, and you can Twitter me as well as at The Unsecret Shopper. So I'd like love to get your responses during the show or after. Your weather forecast has been very responsive, as summer's got a few kicks left in them. Sunshine and 84 today. What a beautiful day. Yes, we had a series. Can you remember the last time we had rain? I can't even remember the last time we had dew. Yeah, so it's been a really nice, dry and pleasant. Tonight, that pleasantness and dryness continues down to 58. For Sunday, sunshine and 82. Beautiful. And then, yes, rain chance. Only about 20%. It's not bad. If you're gambling, you'd say, yeah, not very good. I'll go to another table. And then just isolated showers. And isolated showers are those only that fall on your head, just your head, and no one else's. We'll drop down to 55. Columbus Day, yes. Columbus sailed the ocean blue, 1492, the whole dealio dough. But he really didn't. Yeah, the real history of that is he really missed. He was somewhere between Nova Scotia and the southern Antarctic, and he just sort of got credit for finding us. But it's Amerigo Vespucci and some other people. But anyway, it's an argument for another show. Columbus Day Monday, a high near 77. So very pleasant, and the next chance of rain, not even until looks like Tuesday night. Very nice. Right now, fair skies, 57 degrees. As you awake, you can go to theunsecretshopper.com and read many, many reviews, secret shopper reviews of businesses throughout Des Moines and Central Iowa. It's what I do on a regular basis. In fact, every week I select one. I randomly think about, you know, I just have these random thoughts. I'll be driving down the road, and this is, if you're around me in traffic, you know, if you see a Prius, black Prius driver just weaving, you want to avoid it because I'm having one of those random thoughts. I'm thinking, why don't I go secret shop this place? And this place this week turned out to be Menards. Yes, and I don't know if you've heard this, but did you know this? That really wasn't the one I wanted to play, but anyway. Now why is that one playing? Now see, it's supposed to be the Menards jingle. What is that? No, wait a minute, I just put this in this morning. What is that? There we go. All right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, well, the point I was going to make is that jingle is embedded in most of our heads, and I don't know about you, but when it gets in there, when things get in there, baby, they do not get out quickly. And that jingle, for some reason, just always has stuck with me. I think it's one of those great jingles. It just sort of has that, well, here, listen to this. Well, now, I see, it's a second. All right, well, here it is.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, it's a technical issue. Let's see, I need to make note of that in my notes. But in any event, yeah, I think it's a powerful jingle. Save big money. We all want to save big money. And then you've got the guy who represented Menards for many, many, many years. And I don't know how to pronounce Ray Zamanda's last name, as you could tell just then. But, you know, he's got the white wavy hair and the glasses, kind of nerdish and almost sort of frightening at times, his energy level. He started to get that big grin going, you know. But for some reason, we remember that. In fact, Menards' marketing machine is so strong that they are the third largest home improvement center in the country. And who's number one? Well, Home Depot is number one. Lowe's is number two. But they're no slouch, Menards. They have locations in 12 states, 259-plus locations in the chain, 45,000-plus employees generating $8 billion and more in annual sales. You know, it's a lot of roofing. That's a lot of remodeling. That's a lot of, cut twice, measure once, because you didn't measure twice and you only cut once. So what is harder to measure in all of retail is the impact of customer service. And, of course, I argue that's number one. If you look at price, selection, convenience, and service, and those ratings, if we have look at Q&As, and we ask customers, and we have for years and years retail stores, rank those. What's most important to you? Over and over again, shoppers will say, well, it's customer service. Now, we can make the argument that what really moves us, in other words, we're going to say, somebody comes to our door and says, hi, I'm with the polling people, and I'd like to ask you a question. And then, of course, oh, I'm not dressed properly, but please come in. The place is a mess. And then they ask you questions, and then they ask you that question. Rank these following things in order of importance to you. Price, selection, service, well, value. Now, price, selection, service, and convenience are really the things we look at, and you rank those. And so in that situation, you may say, yeah, sure, customer service, because you kind of figure that's maybe the answer that sounds the best, like you're the most caring and empathetic in that. But what really moves us to actually go where we go, yeah, other things may play a bigger role in that. But at the end of the day, I still say I contend that customer service, more than anything else, is what drives us. In other words, great customer service can trump a little bit extra price, a little higher price, a little more cost. But bad customer service, that's when price really matters. Even average customer service, I think, nowadays in this economy. And so as I'm going into Menards and I'm secret shopping and you've got this huge 150,000-foot airplane hangar-sized facility, and the one on Southeast 14th is where I went, 6,000 Southeast 14th. There's two in Des Moines. And I was looking for service. I was walking past employees, getting within their somewhere within their retail circle and seeing how they would handle that. How would they engage someone, a customer on their floor? Good lines of sight at Menards, sort of in the middle areas. The end shelves, well, they're piling it high and watching it fly, hopefully not on your head. Ron over in lighting, for example, sort of started there as I came in the first trip. And I usually go in, frequently, I go in twice into a retail setting. I'll shop once in the morning, once in late afternoon or evening, once dressed up, once sort of dressed casually. How people interact with me, I think the dress can make a difference, how I look. But frankly, I was looking fabulous in the morning jaunt. I was wearing a nice, very nice pink tie, blue shirt, long sleeves, dress pants, and strangely enough, flippers. So that may have set some people off. But Ron in lighting, what can I help you find? Very nice open-ended question to start things. Yeah, that's an expansive question. We're going to talk more about what you don't say to shoppers. And one of the things you don't say is, can I help you? Closed-ended question. Ron's open-ended question was perfect. A little bit of smile thrown in. And it was the last open-ended question I would get, first and last, the entire time I was in the store at Menards. A mic and ceramic tile. Well, he just ignored me. He didn't even bother with a question. He just sort of blew me off for 4 minutes while I was within 12 to 15 feet of him. A Kurt, finding everything okay? Lori in paint, getting everything okay? Deb in appliances, need some help, sir. Now, here's the thing about sir. Sir can only make an old person feel old. All right, and so I tell you, are the young whippersnappers listening this morning? If you're working in retail, yeah, and I know please hold on to the argument where you're going to tell me, sir is respectful, and yeah, you know what's more respectful? Ask me my name, then use it. You know, your name isn't sir or ma'am. That's some generic thing. But it doesn't have anything to do with you other than some sort of gender thing. And, you know, frankly, today, who can tell? So ask them their name, then use it. Don't be afraid. We do this in training with Dolls and Westside Auto Pros and my other clients, and constantly encouraging employees to just get in there and ask. It's okay. You're going to feel sort of weird about it. It's going to feel strange a bit, but that's just because you haven't been asking it. The more you ask it, the less strange it'll feel until, hey, it'll feel completely normal. In fact, if you don't ask, it'll feel really weird and abnormal. So it's just a habit you develop. And then there was a sort of an odd exchange with Anthony. I was in the appliances, and I said, I'm looking for a washer that I can schedule to wash at different times and days automatically. In other words, I wanted to sort of, frankly, I wanted to also pile the clothes in itself, if it can do that, even if it could wear the clothes. You know, when are they going to make a washing machine that does it all? Hello, Maytag. So anyway, I tell him this, and he says, he responds the following. That's pretty top of the line. It's pretty expensive, he replied. Oh, wait a minute. This may be for me. I need to get the phone. Sorry about that. You know, I never remember to turn things off. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, okay, so back to where Anthony was engaging me. He said, that's pretty top of the line. That's pretty expensive, he replied. We could probably order it, but it's pretty expensive. Okay, well, let's talk about why that's not really an optimum response in retail. There's a couple different things there. What's expensive to Anthony is expensive to Anthony, but it may not be expensive to me. I mean, that's his dealio dough. All right, I don't know what kind of jack he's picking up, but that's his perception. He's living in where he's living in. But the only thing that makes any difference to anybody in retail is the world that the shopper is living in. And the truth is, an employee simply doesn't know. So saying something is expensive is making a judgment that may be completely inaccurate. So we really stay away from that, first of all. We also don't throw our own stuff under the bus. Because saying, well, you know, stuff we got here is kind of pricey. No. Everything you have inside your store is affordable to different people who can afford different things. Yeah. Because you know what? If people could literally not afford something you sold, you wouldn't sell it. Because no one would be buying it. Therefore, at some point, the Menards retailers would go, you know, we've been sitting there with a $500,000 washing machine that just won't move. So they'd get rid of it. Sure, they'd bring in a smaller model. But so in this case, yeah, that's just not a good way to go. So you don't make a guess about money someone makes, and you don't talk smack about the stuff that you got there. And then Anthony sort of did, really, the worst part of this was this. He said this next. Best Buy makes a timer. I don't know why we don't sell it, but we do. But I don't know why we don't sell it, but they do. It sits right on top of the washer and times it to wash at the same time every time, unquote. Yeah, you know, that's great. If I was at Best Buy, yeah, I'd probably go buy one. Hey, why don't I go ahead and go to Best Buy? You know what? You're right. It's not even that far. Yeah, I'll just go down there. It's right down Southeast 14th. No problem. Hey, see ya. Yeah, so a bad dealio. And then I don't know why we don't sell it, but they do. So again, we're throwing our company under the bus. It's never a good position to take as an employee. And this is common in retail. And I think we do it because we want to look good and we want to befriend, of course, the consumer. And we want to look good in their eyes and that we're all about them. And it's also, unfortunately, it's part of the man. I'm taking a stand against the man who is the employer, this big monolithic corporate thing. And it's just me and you on the outside and we're victims of the man. And of course, the man pays us. The man keeps clothing on our back, food on our table. The man, without the man, there is no any of that other goop. So, yeah, there's no point in being disrespectful to the people that sign our paychecks. Also, Anthony had sort of this annoying habit of saying, partner. Hey, you all right, partner? Everything all right, bud? Yeah, it's another case where you don't, that's like sir and ma'am, you know? It's just a more generic, informal version. You want to get the person's name. In the design center, Andy really turned it around. He did a really nice job. Now, he did come up with a closed-ended question as he approached, but he really did a nice job of engaging me, talking about, you know, big buckets of glop that you throw. Now, frankly, you pay others to throw on your roof when it's leaking. And he positioned that very well. Later on, Bob walked through, and he looked like someone had shot his dog, then asked him to pay for the bullets. He was just in a very poopy mood. I wanted to stop Bob and start singing to him. And if I would have sang something to him, I think it probably would have went a little something like this.
Save big money at the Menards.
Come out! But there really wasn't time. He was already past me at that point. Paul greeted me nicely while I was in the bathroom. I was in the bathroom. And no, they're not putting greeters in the can now, although unless they commit a crime. But anyway, very nice. He said, "Hi, how are you?" as I'm going in. And a smile. And I thought that was just awesome. Very nice. And then at the cashier's area in Menards in the checkout counter line, Menards sort of has it. Well, my mother had a term for it, back and then the A word, words. But yeah, they have the cashiers have their back to you as you're going through. And then you have to sort of maneuver the conveyor belt. And then your stuff goes to them, and then they're there in this sort of cut out part of the metal portion of the conveyor belt, and then the conveyor belt continues on to the left of the cashier, and they're sort of embedded in this area, this circular area. It's sort of an odd, not embedded, but they're sort of standing, and their back is to you, and they've got these pretty smiles, you know, and they're engaging in these nice smocks and these buttons that say, "I'm here to help you," and of course, you can't see any of that because their back is to you. And so the cashier really has to work on turning back around. Very interesting and unusual, and frankly, very annoying. So if I was Menards, I'd spend the millions of dollars it would take to turn their checkout counters the other way. Or the cashiers can simply turn around themselves and save Menards a lot of money. So that was the first trip through. Second trip through, you know, finding everything all right. Need help with anything. And then some really long waiting times over by the paint where it got, you know, uber poopy as Dave and Colby talk to each other. Again, that's what employees often do and engaging on products and so forth. But I was picking up my shopping cart and banging it, you know, on the floor and trying to get their attention. And it was absolutely nothing. And then when actually Colby, I came up to them while they were talking and they stopped talking, Colby said, "Need anything?" Yeah, that wasn't good at all. So Chris at Appliances says, "Y'all right, buddy?" No, and for two reasons. Brooke just blew me off in door displays. Steve was the stud of the second trip, and here's why. Steve was riding a forklift, all right? And if you've ever driven one in traffic downtown, you know they're just a nightmare. But Steve was driving through the aisles on this forklift, and he's hooking nut. I mean, in relative, you know, retail terms, he's doing pretty well. And he flies by and he says, "Hey, how are you?" And he sort of waves and he smiles as he goes by. I loved it. It was great. Nice job, Steve. John at the Design Center, anything I can help you with? Jason by the nail guns, finding everything. Zach, help you find anything? Again, and these are not bad people at all. You're all good people. But it's just a matter of training. It's a training component. It's just a question. Closed-ended questions are just bad for retail. They're bad for business. They're bad for all of us. I would have them outlawed. I would at least have it as a misdemeanor where you'd have to, like, write someone out a ticket. If I could write a citizen, in fact, you know what? That may be an idea. I may do that. I may just figure out. I'll get some tickets sort of printed up. Yeah, I'll get some ticket, and I'll just have this little ticket book, like I'm a ticket writer. If I get a closed question, I write the ticket out, I hand them to him, and I'll say, "This is a warning. Next time, it's a fine." One fine dude indeed is Jeff Greenwood. He is a spokesperson for the Iowa Attorney General's Office. Going to join us next and enlighten you and me about mystery shopping scams. What to look for, what makes a mystery shopping company legit, and what makes it illegit. Jeff will cue us in on all of that, plus the top 10 plus things that employees should never say to us as shoppers. We'll get to all of that and much more right here. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT.
Oh, make mine bacon cheddar.
I'll
medium.
Try the portobello.
A burger is a burger, right?
Wrong. Look what's new.
Smells wonderful.
Dahl's Angus Pride Gourmet Burgers. Bacon cheddar, jalapeno, portobello, pepper, or pork sirloin.
Here they come, ready or not.
Oh, don't they look fabulous?
Honey, we have to try these. Great for tailgating or fancier entertaining with a glass of wine. Dahl's new gourmet burgers, taking the all-American burger to an all-new level.
I gotta try the jalapeno.
Dahl's. Expect more.
It's time to save thousands on a new Kia at Des Moines Imports. Hi, this is Matt Sokolowski, manager at Des Moines Imports, here to tell you how to double your cash. Kia offers thousands in customer cash. Right now, Des Moines Imports will double that cash. Convenience and value come together in the Kia Sedona minivan. Double your customer cash and save thousands on Sedona, a Consumer's Digest Best Buy, and a safety fortress with six airbags and a five-star crash test rating. With all the savings, 2011 Sedona vans are just $21,800, or choose low 0% APR financing. That's right, new 2011 Sedonas, just $21,800. Kia, the power to surprise with its 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Hurry in, double cash back won't last long at Des Moines Imports. Import quality for thousands less. One block north of I-80-35 at the Highway 141 exit or 24/7 at DesMoinesImports.com.
Price includes all offers plus TTL, 0% APR for 36 months available with approved credit.
Business owners, did you know that up to 40% of your electric bill comes from lighting? Adventure Lighting of Des Moines can help save you money by replacing your old fluorescent technology with our high-quality Philips brand energy-efficient lights. And with Mid-American rebates, the retrofit is often paid for, parts and labor. Plus, you'll save money on your electric bill. In fact, Adventure Lighting has saved our commercial and residential customers nearly $1 million in 2009. Go to AdventureLighting.com to find out how much you can save. Adventure Lighting. Lighting today for a brighter tomorrow.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store.
We shop at a mall and then some. Right there, the old strip mall right beside each other. Yes. And then the bank, of course, where we take the money out. We don't have any, and then we feel really stupid shopping. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper radio show. Boys and girls, shoppers of all ages, 821. This fine Saturday morning, 84 with sunshine today. What a beauty of a day, says Curtis Gertz. And, of course, I love the people in KCCI News Channel 8, having worked with them and Kevin Cooney and got to see the studio a couple months back. And so another person who is from that particular neck of the woods is Jeff Greenwood. He spent many years there as a KCCI News reporter, and now he's with the Iowa Attorney General's office, and he's on the show this morning. We're going to talk about mystery shopping scams, what to look for, what's legit, what isn't, and Jeff joins us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Jeff, how'd you get into the Iowa Attorney General's office? Most of us get in there because we did something wrong. I'm assuming you did something right to get the communications director gig.
Yeah, well, I was a reporter at KCCI for about 22 years, covered primarily police and courts, so I've always had interaction with prosecutors and law enforcement. And a few months ago, it maybe seems like years already, even though it's been a couple of months, ran into the communications director, Bob Brammer, who was leaving the office, and struck up a conversation. He was putting in for retirement, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, what's the biggest, and there's some obvious differences that on the surface between the two jobs, but are there some obvious similarities in the two?
Well, yeah, there are similarities because I'm working with some of the same people I worked with on the other side, although in a different capacity. I mean, I had a lot of interaction with prosecutors and with judges, although I don't have much interaction with judges now in this new job, and obviously with the media, and I still have a lot of media friends that I'm working with in a different capacity, so it's been a very interesting transition. I think it made a lot of sense to take a job that was still in line with some of the work I was doing before. I mean, heck, I do some of these stories about bad guys and scammers, and now I'm talking about them in this job, so there are some similarities.
Does the press corps, and I'm my only experience is just from a distance and looking at the White House press corps, when you sometimes have a reporter who often becomes the White House spokesperson, is the respect change? Do they look at you differently because you were once one of them?
Well, I think if anything, I get maybe a bit more respect, and the reason is they know who I am. I've been around here for a long time. They know how I work. They know that I was very straightforward in how I did my stories, and I tell it like it is. I was very fair, even if I had to cause a few bloody noses in my story, it was because they had it coming to them. And so I think that that gave me a leg up in dealing with the media. They know that I'm still the same Jeff Greenwood that they knew a few months ago, and straightforward, and it's been a good transition.
Is there the, as a reporter, of course, for over 20 years, you're to be objective, and you were to present the facts, and you were to go get the facts, and then to wherever that path may lead you. Is it a little different now in the Attorney General's office in the sense that you can't always be perhaps as forthright as maybe you'd like to be?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I can answer that question a couple of ways, but it's very factual here. I mean, obviously, we're dealing with legal issues, and we have to be right on what we're seeing. And if it's involving a lawsuit or criminal charges, we have to be dead on what we're saying. The difference is that, you know, as a reporter, I'd always try to pry information out of people. And here, on this side of it, I am a bit more restricted on what I can say, and I know the tricks. I know somebody's going to call me and try to get a little bit more than what I may be allowed to say, and I just have to hold the line.
That's right. Yeah, come on, Jeff. We were buddies back in the day, right? Give me a little extra, and you say, no, I can't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Johnny, you keep calling me every day asking me for information about some of this stuff, and maybe eventually you're going to wear me down.
That's right. It's all about persistence. That's right. Exactly. Our guest this morning is Jeff Greenwood. He is a spokesperson for the Iowa Attorney General's Office. We're here on 1350 KRNT. Well, Jeff, I get, as a professional secret shopper, I'm getting more and more inquiries of people who want to do the job, mystery shopping, as others call it, and there are so many scam artists out there. This seems to be one of those really fertile areas for scamming and ripping people off. Tell me, how many reports does your office get about this particular ripoff?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, one of the reasons why this is a popular topic is because, let's face it, and you could probably tell us better than anybody, it's a good gig. It's an interesting role that you play when you do that, and there really are legitimate mystery shoppers, and you know that better than anyone. But we also know that lure of sometimes, or the sales pitch of easy money is fertile ground for a scam. And we know that here in Iowa, there are people who have been solicited to become mystery shoppers, and obviously everywhere else in the country. And unfortunately, there are scam artists who are preying upon their hope of getting this mystery shopper job. And maybe it's somebody who really needs needs some kind of income, and they've really pinned their hopes on doing this. Or maybe it's somebody who looking for a little income on the side, or maybe it's somebody who just thinks, man, this sounds like fun. I'd love to do this. What do I need to do to get into this? And unfortunately, some of those people who want this really badly, they're getting preyed upon by scam artists. So we do get occasional calls in our Consumer Protection Division, and I know that others have filed complaints with the federal government, particularly the Federal Trade Commission, which has issued advisories about the mystery shopper scam, because a lot of this is tied in with the fake checks that are going around, and unfortunately they've got their stories down on what they're offering, and they offer this big promise, and people are sending them money, or they are falling for the scam, which is a pretty complicated and well thought out scam, and that's how it's taking people in.
And I want to come back to the consumer protection part of this, because I think that is so important, and the fact that the Attorney General's office has this division. But let's stay focused on mystery shopping. Jeff, how do I, as a typical consumer, how do I differentiate? I'm sure it's like counterfeit dollar versus a real dollar. How do I know the difference between, what are some of the sort of telltale signs of a legitimate secret shopping company like my own versus a bogus mystery shopping company like the sort of complaints you get?
Well, first of all, many of the legitimate companies aren't necessarily seeking mystery shoppers. They may have a website out there, they may have a presence, but they're not necessarily sending you random emails saying that they are looking for mystery shoppers. So if you receive an email in your inbox that was unsolicited, there's a very good chance that is a scam. You might also see some help wanted ads in the newspaper, or you might see something on Craigslist, and there's probably a pretty good chance that is is possibly not legitimate. Things like selling certifications, mystery shopper certifications. Well, you don't need a mystery shopper certification. These companies don't require those. They may be selling mystery shopping services like books or lists, and they may tell you they've got these guarantees that they'll get you a job as a mystery shopper, or they're charging you a fee for access to a list or a secret email that has these golden companies on there. Those are all indications that the company is not legit.
And really, you brought up, I thought that was one of the big sort of bright flashing red lights when it comes to mystery shopping scams, is when they ask you to say, hey, send us $39, and like you said, you get certified, or this gets you started, or $130, whatever it is. And I mean, my secret shoppers, you know, I would never ask them to give money. Why in the world? I mean, it's about making money, right?
Well, maybe you should start asking for money. Maybe you'll make more money that way.
That's right. Listen, I need to write this down. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And so that to me is a real tip off, because I can think of no decent reason to ask people to make an investment in something that they should be getting paid for.
No, if you are a legitimate mystery shopper for a legitimate company, it shouldn't cost you anything. You're right.
And Jeff, what is the recourse? Let's say I'm a consumer and I invested, or I did, or I misstepped, and now I feel like the bozo on the bus and I'm embarrassed about it. Tell me about the recourse. What's the process that people go about complaining to your office?
Well, we can talk about recourse, but we also, I think, should also talk about prevention. So let's start with the recourse. If you do believe that you've been taken in by a scam, let us know. Call the Iowa Attorney General's Office Consumer Protection Division, or you can also contact us here through our website at iowaattorneygeneral.gov and go into the Consumer Protection Division. You can file a complaint electronically. You can also send one here to the office. You can email us through consumer@iowa.gov, or you can call us at 515-281-5926. I just gave you a lot of information out there. The easiest way might be go on the internet, type in Iowa Attorney General, and you'll get right to our site. It's iowaattorneygeneral.gov.
And so from the prevention, go ahead.
The Federal Trade Commission, because the federal government is also tracking this. You know, keep in mind that these scams primarily are international scams, and most of them are coming out of Canada. So in many cases, when someone is scammed, and this is not encouraging news for someone who has been scammed, most likely their money has gone outside of our borders, and it's very difficult, if not impossible in some cases, to recover losses for consumers. But the advantage of letting us know about that is it's possible that maybe there's some way that we can stop it quickly. But if not, at the least, we have a registry of who's doing this. The Federal Trade Commission has a registry of folks who are doing this. And it's hard to stop something that we don't know about.
And you talked about prevention, of course, way before we ever get the cold that's keep it from getting into our bodies. What are there clearinghouses? And I should really know this better than you should, but if we want to know where the legitimate mystery shopping companies are and who they are, is there sort of a pre-filtering place we can go, or can we ask? Can we call the Attorney General's office on that, or is there a different way to go?
Well, the industry itself has standards for legitimate companies, and the industry keeps a registry of these companies at the following website, and that's mysteryshop.org. So you can actually go to the Mystery Shopping Providers Association website. I don't know if you knew that there was one or not, but there is a Mystery Shopping Providers Association, and they have their members listed on their website. So you can go into that website and take a look. In addition, it's got some pretty good tips of how to separate the good from the bad and the ugly. And hopefully you will get hooked up with an organization that is legitimate. But, you know, it goes back to a little bit about what we talked about earlier, and that is that you shouldn't have to pay a fee. It should be something that you sought out, not a random email. There's no certification. So you just need to do a little bit of homework. Go to that website or just do some, there's some message boards as well that you'll find out there that somebody might, if you have a company name, you might put that in there. Although I have to say that in some cases, they might even have a legitimate sounding company or sound alike. They might send you a check that looks like it's a very legitimate check, and they'll ask you to deposit it. They'll ask you to go do your mystery shopping, and that check is going to bounce. They might ask you to transfer. They might send you a check and ask for you to test even Western Union or MoneyGram and evaluate them and cash that check and then wire maybe a smaller amount. You're supposed to be able to keep the rest, but it's really a scam. So you'll see when you go to some of these sites how some of these scams work. We have some information on our website, but the Federal Trade Commission does as well. There's also not to keep throwing websites at you, but there's another one called IC3.gov, which focuses on internet crimes, and this is considered to be an internet crime.
Jeff, I have to ask you this, and I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but do you ever want to just, like, when somebody comes through the office and the consumer protection and they've been scammed and it's really been, it's like a dude pulled up in a truck that had, you know, Cayman Island license plates and said, hey, if you give me $100, I'll bring you back $500 and I'll be right back. Just stay right there. I mean, it seems to us on the outside like this is really obvious. Why were you so dumb? Where's your sense of self-protection? Do you ever just want to take people and just, I mean, you got to keep your composure, but are you sometimes surprised at how these scams, and there's nothing new to these scams. These have been going on for hundreds. It's like the old shell game. Are you sometimes surprised that we're still being taken in by this stuff?
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all, and that's the same type of thing I ran into when I did stories on scams a reporter, and that is that in some cases there are people who are very desperate and they are looking for any way possible to take care of their financial problems that they're having, and they want to believe that this is a quick fix. They want to believe that this is going to help them get back on their feet, and unfortunately they're a bit more vulnerable. You also have a lot of older Iowans who are preyed upon. Some might be a little confused about who they're talking to, and these scam artists know. I mean, they know that the folks who are alert about this kind of stuff are going to hang up or they're going to hit the delete button when they get an unsolicited email. But unfortunately, some of the more vulnerable folks who, again, are desperate or don't have a full grasp of what's going on are going to respond to it, and that's who these people are taking advantage of.
Jeff Deaver, do you stay in touch with the gang at KCCI? Do you miss being on camera on a regular basis?
I don't miss being on camera. I do miss the people. It's a fantastic group to work with, and we still keep in contact. And it's a fun place to work. Actually, it's in that business. You never know what's going to happen when you walk in the door. There's a lot of variety to it, and it's, I do miss being outside a little bit. We've had some fantastic fall days. This is a great weekend, this fall weekend, and these are nice days where you want to be outside. However, I know that when we have our fourth blizzard in January, and I'm watching that from the inside of the Attorney General's office as opposed to outside on the freeway telling you you shouldn't be driving out here, I'm going to like it.
Sure, that's right. It'll go around and it'll come around. There's no question about it. Well, Jeff, we have watched your career, those of us who've lived in this area all of our lives, and from KCCI, and what a wonderful jump, and we have grown up with you and learned to trust you, that you're a trusting man who has our best intentions in mind, and so how wonderful that you've now raised it to another level, and really at the pinnacle in many ways of what you've been doing for so many years. We're so grateful that you are there looking out for all of us, and a spokesperson for a wonderful agency, and Tom Miller and the whole gang. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Jeff, you too. Thank you for your time. Jeff Greenwood of the Iowa Attorney General's office. Just a super nice guy. And, he brought up some things. When I started this company, I didn't know nothing. I mean, I just started the Biosphere and the Buyosphere, and started secret shopping because I figured I don't know, it just made sense. You know, I was raised by my mother, my grandmother, and my aunt. Listen, did I need any other training other than that? Women are just the most amazing shoppers, and so I grew up in that environment. But as far as putting together the program, my secret shopper program, and the things I look for, I wanted to do it on my own. I figured, you know what, the best way to learn is to go figure it out, and I think we all have the answers to us anyway. So anyway, if you want to work with a legitimate secret shopping company, then please go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. We secret shop for dolls. We secret shop for West Side Auto Pros. We secret shop for other companies, Gabus Auto Group. And there are just a lot of great opportunities for you. Again, www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can throw an email my way or Twitter or cell phone or whatever you'd like. We'd love to put you to work because there's plenty of work out there. Companies really want to do it well, want to do it right. Coming up, what are the things that employees should never say to us as shoppers? And I mean never under any circumstances. What just kills the shopping vibe? We'll get to those next. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
Are you looking for excellence in auto service? Hi, I'm Ron with Westside Auto Pros. Most of us have heard of AAA's Four Diamond Award. This coveted award is presented to the finest restaurants and hotels all across our country, a symbol of unsurpassed quality. But did you know that AAA also has an award for auto service facilities? It's called the Top Shop Award. And out of all the AAA-approved repair shops and dealerships in the Des Moines area, Westside Auto Pros is the only one to receive this award 7 years in a row. What does this mean to you? Excellent service for both you and your car. Honesty, integrity, and a job well done is at the heart of everything we do. Come experience the Westside Auto Pros difference. We're on 92nd Court just off of Swanson Boulevard in Clive. Call 225-9090. That's 225-9090. Or visit us online at Westside Auto Pros, where you can register to win free gas. Westside Auto Pros, proud to be a top shop.
Catch the wave to waters. We're gonna treat you right. Great selection, great deals, with service you're sure to like.
A short drive saves you more. We've got what you're looking for.
You'll be glad you caught the wave
when you see how much you're gonna save. Catch the wave to Waters. Waters Auto Land.
Is it hard for you to get certain lights from your current supplier for your business or construction project? At Adventure Lighting, we carry over 100,000 lights on hand, the most extensive inventory of lights in the Des Moines area. So we have the right light when you need it, including high-quality Philips brand lighting. As a lighting supplier for Knapp Properties, R&R Realty, Casey's General Stores, and over 2,000 other businesses, Adventure Lighting has created an unparalleled lighting pipeline that customers have depended on since 1980. Call Adventure Lighting when you need the right light right now, or visit us at AdventureLighting.com. Adventure Lighting, lighting today for a brighter tomorrow.
8:42 now at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. 84, going to be a beauty. Sunshine, got it right now, as a matter of fact. What do we got for a tip? 57 already. Nice. Nice and toasty out there before, and you know it's just a matter of time, sure, before the signs of winter. And we already had a couple. I thought we were kind of going down that road, and then we sort of veered off to another road, and now it's kind of a nice road. And coming up, some folks who do a wonderful job of, did a great job of customer service with me and at Urbandale High School, and I want to point those out. And Tim Carver, what a great guy. We'll share a little bit of that in my visit with him coming up. But first, what are the worst things that employees can say to us when we're shopping? Other than get out of my store or I'll shoot you, I mean, there are some things that levels, you know, sort of step back away from that. These, I think, and I've compiled this list, and there's more than 10. I'm trying to narrow it down. Actually, there's a lot more. Some of these are versions of the same thing. But these are the things that I think that when employees say these things to us, it really steals our vibe, our joy. And shopping is about joy. It's about happiness. We shop in our eye. What is our eye? The letter I. It is our individuality. It's the most selfish part of who any of us is. It's the me, me, me. It's the baby in the cradle that we are. It's feed me, clothe me, help me, serve me. That's how we shop. We go into any retail, whether it's a restaurant or clothing or whatever the place sells. All retail's problem solving. We go into stores that solve our problems. They feed us, clothe us, do those things, whatever. And so we go in and we're in our eye, the most selfish part of us. And that in training, we talk about this all the time, and that employees need to be in their R, their role. Their role is servants, their title. They are employees. They are managers. And we have titles, of course, across the gamut. We are mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and titles of all kinds. But the title that matters the most inside a retail setting is servant. We are servants of the people who come through the door. And so that differentiation and that importance of that is really critical in maintaining a good, healthy relationship inside retail. And the things that really hold it hostage, the things that really derail that process, are some things that employees can say that take a lot of these, take them out of their R and take them into their I. The first one isn't that one, though. It just really just stinks. And that is, can I help you? That, number one. Why is that such a bad thing, you ask Johnny? Well, it's because, again, as I just said, employees are in a retail setting to help. And so to ask a customer if they can indeed help them is a bit ridiculous, because we're there as employees to help and we're there as customers to be helped. Help me, I'm in my eye, right? It's particularly egregious when we walk up to customer service counters. Yes, specific places that businesses have designed, it probably even says customer service. Now, I think that title's sort of ridiculous anyway, because all employees are customer servants. They are in customer service. So to have this one little division of a company, and I realize it's to notify shoppers that this is the one place you can go for help. But the truth is, we should be able to go anywhere for help. Shouldn't be one particularly designated area. And inevitably, the person behind that counter, and again, if you work behind a customer service counter, hey, listen, you know, I don't know you personally, I want to throw you under the bus, but this consistently, this question, can I help you, is asked. And it's the one place inside a retail setting you can't ask that. Why? Because we've built this counter, and listen, we brought in people from Menards probably to build this counter and to shape it and to hone it and to saw it in and paint it real nice, pretty, and build a nice picture window frame thing so you could stand at that counter and help people. There's no other conceivable reason why a customer that I can think of would be standing at a customer service counter other than that they needed help. And so to ask them, can I help you, it's not only ridiculous, I find it offensive. So that's really number one on the list. Here's another bad one. It's over there. Yeah. Hey, where's the, I'm looking for the shovels. Yeah, they're over there. See where my finger's pointing? Yeah, see that? Here, no, get behind me. You can see exactly where I'm pointing. Yeah, over there. Yeah, that's, you know, that we don't point. We don't, in retail, we take people to the thing. Yeah, and is it always practical to do that? No, I understand if you got people in line, so forth, so on, but that's an excuse, not a reason. And so when a customer comes up to an employee and is asking where something is, it's, oh, you know what's over here? Let me take you to it. Follow me. Come with me. All right, so what else? Try back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow. Come back in tomorrow. The last thing that an employee ever wants to do is to give a customer a reason to leave their premises. Companies are destinations. We go there with specific things in mind to do and to get. Our time is the most precious commodity we have. We have the least amount of it, less than money, less than anything else. So we've decided to spend our time inside this store. The last thing any employee should ever do is to give us any reason to leave it. In fact, the more time we spend inside a store, the more money we spend, statistical truth. And so the opposite is true. And if somebody's not in, we got to problem solve it. That's another thing too. And I think it's on this list somewhere. But employees are hesitant to really problem solve. What typically happens, oh yeah, it is right here. You'll have to talk to a manager, or let me get someone who can help you. Now, sometimes that's legitimate. Because if we don't know the answer, we don't know the answer. But I think that employees give up way too fast and pass the buck on to someone else because they just don't want the headache. It's not that they can't answer it, but they're going to have to work at it. And so one of the things in training I talk about all the time is imbue yourself with a sense of you can solve it. And if you don't immediately know the answer, don't panic, but work through it so that you can teach yourself. Happens every time if the cash register goes down. You see, closed, the light goes on. Got to go get somebody to help me through this. Well, go learn it. And sure, there are some setups in companies and where it takes a manager. They have their little key and they have to turn something and they got to do some. But again, I think employees give up way too fast on the whole idea of problem solving. So solve the problem. Force yourself through to the solution and you'll learn something new. Another thing that goes against the grain of shoppers shopping is to use the term sir or ma'am. And you can, if you want to disagree, you can send an email to Johnny at theunsecretshopper.com. But I'm sitting here telling you right now, it's rude. It's rude. It's not polite. It's not being deferential. It's rude because sir is not your name. The only person that has sir as a name was Sidney Poitier in a movie. All right. And that's because the British are weird. Sir, they think that's a name. Back in the 60s, apparently, that was an actual name of someone. But not today, baby. 21st century, all right? We all have names. Jim Croce sang about it for about 3 minutes and 23 seconds, if I remember my DJ days. Yeah, I got a name. I got a name. You got one, too. And so learn it. If you catch yourself as an employee calling someone sir, say stop yourself and say, excuse me, what's your name? They're going to tell you. Now, they may ask, why do you want to know? And you know what you tell them? Because I don't want to have to call you sir. I'd much rather call you by your name or ma'am or whatever. And some people are going to say, yeah, you know, you don't know me well enough to know my name. I understand you're going to get that on occasion. But but the positive part of that is so much stronger. So sir or ma'am is out. Let's get to know the person. Let's become their friend, all right? What else? Will that be it? Another closed-ended question that just, it grinds my gears is what it frankly does. It's okay to ask me if there's anything else. What else can I get you? That question is nicer, it's broader, it's more open-ended. Will that be it? Yeah, it's a little sun. I don't like it. It ends it. Other things, let me know if you need anything. And then the person walks away. So I don't know why employees do that. And it typically comes after a customer has said something like, well, I'm just looking. And employees misinterpret that. When we tell someone we are just looking, 9 times out of 10, I believe this with all my heart, what we really mean to say is I'm just shopping, but I'm not ready to buy yet. I'm thinking, I'm processing, I'm comparing. That means that inevitably I'm going to need to ask you a question. And so don't abandon me. Stay close enough to where I can comfortably find you and see you within my eye shot. And I can ask you then, and so hover. But don't be like breathing, don't stand on my shoulder like a parrot. Like, you know, but just be it nearby. So let me know if you need anything. Only works if you're not going to disappear. Have a nice day if you're not looking at the shopper. Nothing that feels more illegitimate or more inauthentic, if that's even, can't tell I was an English major, if someone looks at us or someone doesn't look at us and says, thank you or have a nice day. I would rather them say nothing than have them being looking down and away and not at me and make me feel like they don't mean it, that they're just sort of automatically saying this to just fill the space between us. Or they think because it's been a mandated, because some trainer has come in and told them to tell everybody to have a nice day. And of course, as the pillars of great customer service, which you'll find at www.theunsecretshopper.com, part of my training process, smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, and the sixth pillar, the newest addition, would be serve them chocolate. But yeah, you've got to look them in the eye. You got to head on a swivel, look them in the eye, and smile in retail. You got to hold that look and tell them thank you and tell them have a nice day while you're looking at them. Let the customer disengage. Don't you disengage first. Another thing you never say is, I know they have it at, and then name the store. That's a cringe statement. Now, you may know they have that product at another store. You know what? You may want to keep that to yourself. You're driving people out, and I know you're going to tell me, but Johnny, that helps them out, man. That makes me look good. This is not about making you look good. That's about your eye as an employee. Your role is to serve them inside your store and to help them, to hook them up with stuff inside your store. You drive people out the door, they may never come back. And that's the first step in a long road to telling their friends to not go back, because you know what? That place doesn't have it. And if you think people are going to come to you because you give them advice on other places, you're full of baloney, all right? And you don't even sell it. So you can't direct people elsewhere. If they want to find out on their own, fine. But man, you got everything, and if you don't have it, it ain't worth having anyway. And that's a position I think you need to take. There's a lot of other things that we're running short on time, but I think probably the most important one of all of these is to say nothing. That's the worst thing you can do. We call it denying our reality. That's what I call it anyway. It is the worst thing you can say, and it's saying nothing, but it's speaking louder than words ever can. I use the analogy, I just did this in a training session at one of the dolls, and I said, imagine that you're on a long car ride with your spouse, significant other, and you had an argument before you got in the car. And I said, I don't care how long the car ride is, it is now going to feel like hours, maybe even days, because neither one of you is going to speak to the other. You're going to deny the fact that there is a living, breathing human being within 3, 2, or even 1 foot of you. Depends on the size of your automobile. And there is nothing more uncomfortable, there's nothing that feels worse, more cringe-creating, than being in a car with someone who is ignoring you in the space. All right. So same thing in retail. We pass by someone, they say nothing to us, an employee. That is just, it is like sticking a knife in us. And I know we've grown hardened to it over time because we've gotten used to it. It doesn't make it right. So employees, make sure that you are smiling, greeting, engaging, and thanking everyone, and never let silence exist between you and a customer. Ever, 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 ever. There's just a few of them. You probably got some of your own. You can email me at jotty@theunsecretshopper.com. Coming up, a quick shout out to a great customer service guy who isn't even in customer service. That's next, listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
Oh, make mine bacon cheddar.
I'll
medium.
Try the portobello.
A burger is a burger, right?
Wrong. Look what's new.
Smells wonderful.
Dahl's Angus Pride Gourmet Burgers. Bacon cheddar, jalapeno, portobello, pepper, or pork sirloin.
Here they come, ready or not.
Oh, don't they look fabulous?
Honey, we have to try these. Great for tailgating or fancier entertaining with a glass of wine. Dahl's new gourmet burgers, taking the all-American burger to an all-new level.
I gotta try the jalapeno.
Dahl's. Expect more.
It's time to save thousands on a new Kia at Des Moines Imports. Hi, this is Matt Sokolowski, manager at Des Moines Imports, here to tell you how to double your cash. Kia offers thousands in customer cash. Right now, Des Moines Imports will double that cash. Convenience and value come together in the Kia Sedona minivan. Double your customer cash and save thousands on Sedona, a Consumer's Digest Best Buy, and a safety fortress with 6 airbags and a 5-star crash test rating. With all the savings, 2011 Sedona vans are just $21,800, or choose low 0% APR financing. That's right, new 2011 Sedonas, just $21,800. Kia, the power to surprise with its 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Hurry in, double cash back won't last long at Des Moines Imports. Import quality for thousands less. One block north of I-80-35 at the Highway 141 exit, or 24/7 at DesMoinesImports.com.
Price includes all offers plus TTL, 0% APR for 36 months available with approved credit.
8:58 now. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on, 1350 KRNT. Hope you have a wonderfully smiling weekend, whether you're in retail or out there just enjoying the sunshine. Remember, smile, one of those pillars of great customer service, but of course you don't need it as a pillar. It's just, it's a fun way to just let your joy out. And there's a ton of joy inside of us. We're all born to laugh and smile and engage and just have fun. And one guy having a lot of fun is Tim Carver, assistant principal at Urbandale High School. And Tim and his school were one of the 10 high schools that were secret shot by yours truly in a Secret Shopper review that I believe was from 2 weeks ago. And controversial, I would say, on some levels, in which some of the high school experiences I had posing as a parent who was looking around at schools for his son, and we were transferring up from Texas, some of the experiences were just sort of frightening. And you can go, if you Google search Des Moines High School Unsecret Shopper, you'll find the review there. But Tim is a great guy. He did a wonderful job engaging me at the secret shopper, as I posed as a secret shopper. And there were some things, of course, to work on. And so Tim invited me back into his office, and we met last week. And he was just wonderful and just a smart guy. And I love teachers. They're great people. The worst teacher is one of the best people I've ever known. And Cheryl in his office, though, was struggling with answering the phone. Hi, thank you for calling Urbandale High School. My name is Cheryl. She wants to say, this is Cheryl. And I say, Cheryl, that's not what you say in person. You shake somebody's hand, you say, my name is Cheryl. So try it, Cheryl. It can work. See ya!